There's a missionary over there in Hong Kong, and they do a great work among the refugees. That is from Vietnam. The refugees from Vietnam, in order to get out of Vietnam, you have to pay to get out to get in an old leaking boat. And they give you a gallon of water. And that would be sufficient, I suppose, taking a little, to get you into Hong Kong. However, it costs money to get out of Vietnam. American dollars are no good, Alex. I don't know about the Bahamian ones, but they're demanding for an adult 6 ounces of gold. I don't know how much gold is. I'm not worrying about it. One of these days I'm going to be walking on it when I get to glory. That's going to happen soon, I believe. But God is blessing them. And they're going to China to teach in the university. Now, in China, it is absolutely impossible for a foreigner to minister the word of God or to speak the gospel. That doesn't say they don't get it. Students have been converted. They are encouraged to witness for the Lord. And they have been doing that. About a month ago, my son-in-law told me of having baptized right in Red China quite a number of believers. If there is any country in the world that is seeing the blessing of the Lord, it's China. Without any gospel preaching, without any assembly meetings as we have them, they gather together, and I saw the name this morning on your hymn book, and they call themselves little flocks, and they gather together to remember the Lord. And God has blessed them. Now you know that when Mao Zedong established a cultural revolution in China with his little red book, I was going to bring one over so that you might see it, but I didn't do it this time, but I have one. And I bought it for a nickel. You can get that book in 60 languages, beautifully bound, and it cost 5 cents on the border of Red China. And I bought one. And it's poison. Mao Zedong did his utmost to annihilate 1 million Christians. People that were converted through the instrumentality of a Hudson Taylor. But in order to get them all, Mao Zedong executed. Are you listening to me? 300 million people. Now, we've heard of a Hitler, and he burned in his gas oven something like 6 million Jews. Mao Zedong annihilated 300 million. And still today, population is exploding with only one child born in the family. When that child is born, that woman is sterilized. No all children. And still in 1992, the population of China is going to exceed 2 billion people. Do you know what that means? That means if Chinese people were to take hold hands, they would go around the world 6 times. And still, I asked a brother to give me an estimate of the real born-again Christians in China at the present time when Mao Zedong annihilated so many. He said, well, I can only give you a conservative number, and that would be from 50 to 70 million Christians. God is blessing. Now, shall we read together, please, in the Acts of the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 16. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. Now, I do want you to come out tonight. I have with me this time a chart, hand-painted, and I think you'll be able to see it. We'll put it on the platform, and we shall be dealing with a few subjects, and especially the coming of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ and events that will follow the rapture. Now, when you go home today, will you please take your concordance and look up that word rapture? Now, when I was a young believer, I used a Cruden's Concordance. That's for the young in Christ. But there's another good concordance, and that is called the Young's. That's for the young in Christ. But then there is what they call the Strong's Concordance. That's for the strong in Christ. And then there was a dear brother who came into the knowledge of what it means to be gathered together with all early brethren. And his name was Wigram. And that is the concordance for the Greek scholar. But you stay with the strong. You look up the word rapture. And you won't find it. In fact, you won't find rapture in the Bible. Do we believe in it? I believe in it with all my heart. It means the calling away of every believer in our Lord Jesus Christ, and we're all going to be translated. I believe that the next event on God's prophetic calendar is the coming again of our blessed Lord. Why do I say that? When I pick up your newspaper, and where the newspaper came last night under the door, and I read in your newspaper here in the Bahamas that crime is found upon every page. Such crimes as have never been enacted before. We have the same thing over in the USA. I believe that Satan's time is very short, and he's doing everything possible to discourage God's beloved people. You hear about the Jim and Tammy Baker scandal. You hear about the Swaggart scandal. Things that are happening that would never have been dreamed of before. I believe that the Lord's coming is near. That's the reason why we like to encourage people. There is a special blessing to those that love the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe before we're finished, we'll hear a hallelujah once in a while. Now, shall we read together in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 16? And shall we read, please, at verse number 13? When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, you will find that little expression, Son of Man, associated with the writer of the third gospel, Dr. Luke. He is the only writer in the New Testament that was not a Jew. And in his wonderful treatise of the Gospel, he traces the genealogy of our blessed Lord back to Adam. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now that is a bit different from what Matthew does in his genealogy of the Savior. He traces the genealogy, and I know that when you read in the Gospel of Matthew and you read all those names, you like to skip over them all. Well, don't do that. There's a special blessing associated with reading those names and following the genealogy of our blessed Lord, the family tree. Now, when Matthew does that, and he is the evangelist that reminds us of our Lord Jesus Christ as the King, and you'll find a lot of kingdom teaching, kingdom truth in the Gospel of Matthew. When he traces the genealogy of our Lord, he traces it back to David the King. Now, David was God's choice of a king over the nation of Israel. They wanted a king to be like the nations round about them, and choosing a king, they choose a man by the name of Saul, the son of Kish. He wasn't God's choice. God gave them a king in his anger, and he took him away in his wrath. But God had his mind set upon another boy. That man was named, his name was David, and he was a man after God's own heart. Matthew traces the genealogy back to David the king, and the Lord Jesus Christ was David's greater son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and he's going to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, Luke will give you the Lord Jesus as the Son of Man. Several times over, you will find that expression. You remember in Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, and verse number 10, where he says, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And several times over you'll find that. So that it's rather strange that Matthew uses that expression. The Lord asked the question, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some say Elias. Others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Did you know something? John the Baptist is recognized as the last of the Old Testament prophets. John Baptist never had the opportunity that you and I enjoyed this morning as we gathered around the table of our blessed Lord. He never sat at the table of the Lord. He died the first martyr, so to speak. His head was severed from his body, and thus he glorified the Lord. The Lord, speaking of the Baptist, said he was the most blessed that was born amongst women. Now then, and they said John Baptist, others said Elijah, others said, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. That's what men say, that the Lord Jesus, the Son of Man, that's what they say. He asked them the question. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What a change. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And it is Simon Peter that gives the answer, and he said, thou art the Son of God, the Son of the living God, Christ the Son of the living God. Now I know that Peter was the spokesman of those disciples, and sometimes I think that dear old Peter was like me. Many a time I opened my mouth and put my foot into it. That's what Peter did on several occasions. You remember that it was he that said to our blessed Lord, though all men forsake thee, I'm willing to die for thee. And still, he was the first of the disciples to deny the Lord with oaths and with curses. And still he was with our Lord when they came to seek him with staves and lanterns. Imagine seeking the Lord with lanterns. Did he not say, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world? Well, I know that sometimes we sing that hymn, come to the light is shining for thee. Sweet the light is dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. But is that true? He said, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But he's not in the world today. But you and I are in the world. And a light under a bushel is no good. But you and I are to shine as lights in a world that's enveloped in darkness. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So then, our Lord Jesus Christ has left us here for the specific purpose of being lights in this world of darkness. That's the responsibility of every child of God. And if you have never professed to love our Lord Jesus Christ, because I may be speaking to someone this morning and you are not saved, there has never been a time in your life's experience when by faith you saw him on the tree and heard a still small whisper, 'tis for thee. You have never experienced that the burden that was upon your heart rolled away and you were born by the Holy Spirit. Now that has never happened. It can happen this morning. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And it's amazing that God is using individuals today. Our chapels, our churches, many, many times have empty seats. I believe that we're living in a day of individual testimony. I was talking to my daughter, who had been teaching in the University of China last semester. At the conclusion of one of the classes, the director of the university asked her to stop 10 minutes before the period. Now, he said, there are some students here that would like to know what life is like in the West. Will you answer those questions for them in Chinese? So Nisa said, yes, I'll be happy to answer the questions, but very, very cautious. One Chinese student raised his hand and he said, Professor, in the United States, is it possible for a man to own his own home? Now, I know that was a loaded question. Said, well, she said, it is possible for a man to own his own home and for a wife to own her home too. You mean two homes? Yes. Sometimes they go to some place where they can go bathing in the summertime and they can stay there for their holidays. Two houses. That's amazing. Are they large? Well, sometimes you'll find a house with 4 bedrooms and 2 baths. Are they large? And she explained what a house was like in the United States. Professor, is it possible to own your own automobile in the United States? Well, sometimes a father might think he's got a car, but maybe the wife needs it to go someplace. So he buys one for her and one for himself. And then the children, in order to go to school, they have automobiles as well. If you enjoy those luxuries in the country from which you have come, why have you come to the Orient? Why have you learned to speak our language? Now this is a loaded question. And looking at the director of the university, he said, you are at liberty to answer that question. He says, I am going to answer that question with one word. I am a Christian. What is a Christian? And again, looking at the director of the university, he says, you can answer that question. He says, a Christian is one who believes in his heart that God had a son, and that son gave his life because he loved men and women. And a person who has Christ can call himself a Christian. Other questions were asked. Time was up. One of the students went to the library and she was sitting with bowed head. A lady came into that library. She was from Australia. And seeing that student, she said, do you have trouble with your lessons? Not, yes, I do. But that isn't what bothers me. Our professor said this morning, with a faith that was just glowing like the sun, that she was a Christian. Now that's all the gospel she heard. She says, I want to be happy. That lady took out of her pocket a New Testament in Chinese and English. Now she says, I want you to take that testament and I want you to get on your knees. And before reading it, I want you to hold your hands like this and say, God, teach me to be a Christian. That's all. The next time Lisa went, that student raised her hand. She said, could I have a private conversation with you in Chinese? Yes, you can. She says, I have been reading a book. And that book tells me, he that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. I have read that chapter over a dozen times. Do you mean that a Christian is one that has been born again? Well, if Nisa had a face that was glowing like the sun, it must have been illuminated more. That's exactly what a Christian is. She says, I have believed Jesus. I am born again. And Nisa reached out her hand. You don't usually do that in China. You don't shake hands with the people. Just bow. My neck was nearly broken when I was over there, bowing to everybody. She said, welcome into the family. She says, you're my sister in Christ. Without hearing the gospel, that's the reason God's blessing. She went to another class. There's another professor. And he came from the south of Ireland. And that student went to that professor, said, well, are you a Christian? We'd say, where did you learn that word? I have a professor, and she said she was a Christian. Now I am a Christian. Are you Christian? Said, who was that professor? Take him down to see me, son. He said, tell me, do you have a student here that says she's a Christian? He says, are you born again? Nisa said, of course, and what about you? He says, yes, I am. He said, in the south of Ireland, I was a teacher of theology in the Jesuit college. A Jesuit Roman Catholic priest. And he said, they gave me a special dispensation to read the King James Version of the Bible, in order that I might be able to debate those evangelicals. But he said, I opened my heart to the Lord Jesus. And I hung up the robes, and I had to flee the south of Ireland. And I came to China, and they gave me a job here teaching English. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Listen. Nisa said, you better come into Hong Kong on a Saturday and stay the night. They took him to the assembly meeting. And the believers are gathered together around the table of the Lord. He said, I'm in heaven. He said, this is going back to the early days of the Acts of the Holy Spirit. They didn't renew his contract for this year. You know where he's at? He's with my good friend in California, William McDonald. The discipleship training course. And that's what he's doing. That's what God can do with one that said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, I didn't mean to tell you all those things, but look. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What did the Lord Jesus say? Thou art Peter. Thou art a little stone, but upon this rock, bedrock, will I build my church. Now that's the first time that you read of church in the Word of God. And it was the Lord Jesus that mentioned it. What do you mean? And he said that the gates of hell were not going to prevail against it. Satan can never, never, never destroy the church. I know that God did threaten to blow out a lampstand that was flickering, just about to be extinguished. But that isn't for men and women to do today. The Lord Jesus said, upon this rock, the bedrock, will I build my church. What was he talking about? The confession of Simon Peter, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let me tell you. I think that's the greatest enemy I've got here in Shirley Heights is that clock, and I'm trying to watch it. I wouldn't dare go a minute over in Spanish Wells. They'd stone me if I did. So I've got to be careful. And I don't want you to stone me here in Shirley Heights. But I say this. What our Lord has in mind here is the universal church. Every person in the world. Now, I know that the church is divided today. Over there in the United States, we've got, listen, 1,650 different sects and denominations. I don't believe in one of them. I believe in the church. Upon this rock will I build my church. Now, I believe there are real born-again believers in those places. I do believe that. But I also believe, beloved, that there is the local assembly of Christians that gather together unto the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, such as you read of in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, and verse number 20, where two or three are gathered together unto my name, there am I in the midst of them. The birthday of the church, of course, I believe, was on the day of Pentecost. Peter has been restored after he has denied his Lord with oaths and curses. He spent three of the most miserable days in his life. And the hot scalding tears that flowed from his eyes when our Lord looked upon him. And he went out, and I believe that Simon Peter was truly repentant. He warmed himself at the world's fire. And he denied the Lord. But when we come to John's Gospel, chapter 21, we've got another fire. That was the Lord's fire. And oh, how warm Peter became when our Lord asked him three times over, do you love me? Do you love me, Peter? Do you really love me? Keep my commandments. Feed my sheep and feed my lambs. Upon this rock will I build my church. Are you a member of God's church this morning? If you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, you're not. But if you've been born again, you have been baptized into that body. I'm not talking about water baptism. I believe in it. But I believe that the moment that you trust in Christ, you're sealed with God's Holy Spirit. By one Spirit, we're all baptized into the one body, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If this morning you'd like to be converted, trust in Him. Father in heaven, ask thy blessing upon thy precious word. We thank thee for thy...